Okay, let's discuss Shviyas Daf Chav Tes. Shviyas, the 29th daf here of Masechta Shviyas, and we are in the fourth parak of Masechta Shviyas, and we're in the middle of the story of Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon, who gets into a little trouble. That we have here, the Gemara started discussing Chav Chesem Abeis. Rabbi Tarfon went down to get some dried figs in his own field, but he didn't let anybody know that he was really the owner, and he was doing it undercover, and he did it Shalom Betova, which we mentioned. Again, we didn't explicate this, but at the end of the previous year, he held like Rabbi Beishamai. He was going like Beishamai, who said in the Mishnah that you're not supposed to say thank you, right? The argir that we have on Daf Chav Zayin, Beishamai says, "In Ochlin Perish Vias Betova." You can't eat Perish Vias Betova. You can't be Machzik Tova the Bailim. Because that kind of shows that they own it, that they don't really own it during Shemitah, the Perish Shvias. And Beis Hillel says, no, Betova Vishalo Betova. But Rabbi Tarfon was Machmir in this case, like Beis Shammai. They didn't say anything, and that was the diak of the whole Gemara, that it must be that the Kalim, right, that was the question that we brought the story for, when is an owner's Kalim Zoche, and acquire for himself the fruit, because it's not really his. So when are they acquired? So we said, it sounds like from here that they're not acquired in the Kalim, or else if it was his already, then there's no reason why he should have to be Machzik Tova. They were Hefker, and they used to be his, and now they are his, and you don't have to ask, do anything about the owner. So that's why, the workers, the watchmen. So that was the Diak of the Gemara, that Lokana Kalim. But the story was that he started getting beaten up by the workers until he said, whoa, to Tarfon, tell Tarfon's family to get the shrouds ready. And then they realized who he was, and they said, forgive us. And he says, I forgive you every time you hit me. Don't worry about it. So this is an interesting story. It's similar. It's a different story. It happened twice. It's fascinating to think it happened twice. The Gemara Nedarim in the Bavli on Daf Samach Beis. Remember that story? The Gemara says there that at a certain time in the year, after the harvesters, the average harvesters, took away their kalim, and there was not much left in the field, hukpalu rov hamikzoos, then there's no more gezel. No more gezel, you're allowed to go into the fields. So one time there was a case of hukpalu rov hamikzoos, and Rabbi Tarfon Ashkeche, Ahu Gavra, Bizman Shukpulu Amitzos to Ka'achel. One time Rabbi Tarfon went in, very late in the season, when it was about to go in, and he started eating from the produce there. Achte Bisaka Vishakle. So what happened? Somebody found him doing this. He was pretty upset at Rabbi Tarfon. So he threw him into a sack and he started carrying him down to the river. And the Amti Lashadi Benari was about to throw Rabbi Tarfon into the river. Amarlo, Oilo Latarfon, Shizahargo. Woe to Tarfon. Sounds similar. Woe to Tarfon. He's gonna get killed. Shamahu Gavra, the guy heard that it was Rabbi Tarfon in the bag. Shavki Varak, he dropped the bag and he ran away. Amar Rabbi Yevo b'Shem Rabbi Chanan b'Gamliel Kol Yomav Shaloso Tzadik Hayimitzar Al Davar Zeh. I'm reading the Gemara Nedarim now. We'll get back to our Gemara. And for the rest of his life, Rabbi Tarfon was very upset at the story. So why was he upset at the story? Why did he do this in the first place? He made the guy feel bad. He said no. Why did he use Oyli Shnishtamashti B'Kisra Shal Torah? Woe to me, as we'll see in our Gemara. Woe to me that I used the Keser Torah. I used that fact that I'm the God of Ladar. So look what I did. I saved myself based on that. I don't know, maybe he would have been saved even if he wouldn't have said he was Rabbi Tarfon. Maybe he would have said, I didn't do anything on purpose. I was allowed to eat from this, go to this field now. Okay, either way, there's a huge topic in terms of also using the Keser Torah and getting paid for one's learning related. There's a Rambam, there's a Keser Vishnah. This is another parallel Gemara. Maybe twice it happened to Rabbi Tarfon, or just two versions. Why didn't Rabbi Tarfon just say, don't kill me? Right, that would have been, right, that wanted to say it implicitly. You don't want to say just, don't kill me. So if you look in the Ben Yoyada there in Nedarim, Ben Yoyada says, Havi Lamemar, Oili Shazehargeni, but nearly Bisyat Deshmaya, as he starts off every pshat of his. Who Havi Badik Bishma? Rabbi Tarfon always analyzed, as some other Tanoim did, names. Names, he always analyzed names. V'chashav shenikra Tarfon, and he thought, why is he called Tarfon? Shehu lashon Torof Taraf. Right, Yosef was Torof Taraf Yosef. He was grabbed, and he was nitraf. He was taken by a wild animal. Shesofo lios nitrafi adachir. He thought this was his destiny. His name was Tarfon because he ultimately would be, this something would happen to him. V'kara oi al shem Tarfon shenikrabo. Woe to me that I'm Tarfon. Right? He wasn't saying, don't kill me. Lakach amar oilo latarfon. Ratzalomar lashem tarfon shu morashe nitraf shezeh harago. Ratzalomar adam hevyot kamoni. V'lo nitraf ayde malchus lios ben asar arugi malchus. Look at me, I'm not even a martyr. I'm just getting killed for nothing, by some hedyotos. So again, that's why he didn't say exactly what he said. Again, there's a lot more there, but that's the, again, the Nedarim Samach Beis, and now we have Shvius, Chavches, and Chavtes in our sugya. So let's get back to our Gemara now. So again, he was in this situation where he was eating from the dried figs mitoch shalo batova during Shemitah. It was probably, it sounds like a similar enough story that it was probably the same story, but two different versions. It has to do with kitzios and has to do with fields. Okay, so the Gemara says now in the third line, Be'ilin tarti milaya noga mitarfaka beshamai v'sachin. Twice we have two stories that Rabbi Tarfon put himself in danger. Paskin like Beis Shammai or acted like Beis Shammai, put himself in danger. Right? We don't have to go far in Shas. Remember the first parak in Shas. If you've done us, you know, is to get people interested, you know, you gotta have some stories at the beginning. So, in the first parak of Shas, we have two stories. How many other prakim in Shas Mishnayis do we have any stories, let alone two stories in the same parak? So right there, we have Rabbi Elazar's kids came back late, Rabbi Gamliel's kids came back late from the party, the wedding, and we have Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Tarfon, he acted like Rabbi Tarfon there, and what did he say there? Remember the Mishnah? That he was besakin himself. He laid down to say Kriyashma like Bishamai, and that was not the proper thing to do. And here too, he didn't give a shkoyach. Maybe they would have recognized his voice if he would have said shkoyach to them, the workers at the beginning, but he didn't. Bahada ube Kriyashma. In our case, and in the Kriyashma case. Rabbi Yavo, B'shem, Rabbi Chanini, B'Gamliel, Kol Yomav, Shal Rabbi Tarfon, Ha'i Mis'ane Al Davar Azeh. Every, for the rest of his life, he used to fast on this. Probably not every day, but at some type of interval, he used to fast and do tshuva for the rest of this. V'omar, Ar Elishin, Es Kapadati, B'Kitzvah Shal Torah. He says, how could I have used my position of being a rabbi to get ahead? Inappropriate. Even though we would read this and say, you didn't use the position as a rabbi, maybe you just use the position as, you know, being, a different type of leader, somebody that people knew. Okay, but he was upset at this, that he could have gotten out of this, right? The Mefarshim say, maybe he could have bribed his way out without saying who he was. He could have just said, I will give you a lot of money, just let me go. That's another way that he could have gotten out of it, and that's what he was upset about. He didn't have to say his own name. Okay, either way, this was the story of Rabbi Tarfon. Okay, we continue next Mishnah. Halacha Gimel says the Mishnah, Chokrim Nirin Minagoyim B'Shvius. One is allowed during Shemitah, I go over to a guy and I say, you know what, I would love to use this field, to rent this field from you right after Shemitah. A nice plowed field right after Shemitah. So that's basically going to encourage him to plow the field during Shemitah. That's okay, because a guy has no limitations during Shemitah. So you're allowed to arrange it. Chokrim Nirin, you're allowed to arrange to be choker. Remember, there's two types of sharecropping. There's chakirus and arisus, right? One you give a set price, one you give a certain percentage of the produce. But you're allowed to arrange this near or it's plowed fields. Menagoy b'shvius during shvius. Right, look at the first ma'arefolda. Let's continue for a second. Avalom Yisrael. But you can't do that from a Jew, obviously, because that's lifnei iver. That's you're causing a Jew to work the field during shmita. Look at the ma'arefolda. Chok and Irin. Yachol Yisrael lekabel sadeh goy bekach kurim lashana. Right, he's allowed to be choker, which means you give a fixed price. Even though the goy is going to plow the land during Shemitah. And he, the Jew, is going to work the seed it right after Shemitah. And you're going to cause the goy to plow the land during Shemitah. That's okay. It belongs to the goy now. It's okay. No problem with that. Halacha number one. Number two in the Mishnah. Umachzikin yidei goyim b'shvius. You're allowed to be mechazik the guy during Shemitah. What does that mean? If you see him plowing during Shemitah, you're allowed to say something. We'll get into the Gemara what it means, but for now, maybe it means Shkoyah, great plowing, keep it up. Right? Machziki de goyim b'shvius. Avaloi de Yisrael. You're obviously not allowed to say that to a Jew who's plowing his land during Shemitah. You know, you're not allowed to be mechazikim. You might be able to say hello to him, but not tell him he's doing a great job. So that's number two. So number one in the Mishnah is about making these arrangements with a guy before, during Shemitah, for after Shemitah. Number two, are you allowed to be mechazek yidei goyim, but not the Jews. And number three, v'sho'alin b'shloman. And sho'alin b'shloman, you're allowed to ask how they're doing. Mipnei Darkei Shalom. So the Pashup Shad is that that's going on Goyim, right? Because we have a lot of halachas relating to Goyim. Mipnei Darkei Shalom. Remember the Mishnayos of the fifth parak of Maseches Gittin, right? To being Mevaker Cholim and other societal normative practices, you're allowed to do that Sholem B'Shlomam Mipnei Darkei Shalom. So we'll see in the Gemara exactly, but there might be two possibilities. How to understand that last line. Okay. Chokrin, Nirin, right? Just to note, we're back on the first line of the Mishnah, right? You're allowed to make these arrangements, but Reb Chaim Kanievsky has the line. Why are you allowed to do this? De'ein akum mitzuve al shvisa sadeo b'shvias. Right? A goy has no limitations on his field during Shemitah. Right? He has a field during Shemitah. If a Jew eventually gets the fruit from that land, so that's a big discussion. Whether a goy's kinyan is mafkia the kedusha from Peir Shvias. But while a guy has it, a guy can do anything he wants. He's not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs, and he has the land, and he does it. So, but we're allowed, and we're even allowed to encourage him. So Chokrinir v'chulu, Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Imi, Chad Amar. So one says, Charosh Batavos, right? You could say, plow this well, V'anah Nasiv Laminach Basa Shmitza, and I'm going to buy it from you right after Shemitah. You know, that's, you could arrange that, as we said. V'charana Amar Aisher. The other one says, you could tell him Yashakoyach. You tell him Yashakoyach, right? Your koach should be strong. Yashakoyach. Umanda Amar. So now, the Gemara says, based on what you understand the previous line of the Mishnah means, so you'll have to know exactly what the next lines of the Mishnah mean. Again, what I didn't clarify. What we just said now are two understandings of what the second line of the Mishnah means. The first line says you can make the arrangement. The second line says you can be mechazik their hands. What does that mean? So we just say the machlokas, whether it means great plowing or shkoyach. Right, you'll let it go further than the floor, shkoyach, no, that's the machlokas. But now, depending on what machzik yidei goyim means, and the second line will depend, how do you understand the third line of Sholem Bishloman? So, man to Amar Charosh Botav is the one who said that the second line of the Mishnah about machzik yidei goyim means you're allowed to say plow it well, v'ananasiv laminach basar shmitza, and then I'll buy from you right after shmita, ma'u Sholem Bishloman. What does the next line mean? Right, Sholem Bishloman means Aisher, right, is going on the goy case, right, and you're allowed to be Shoel Bishloman, right, you're allowed to understand that you're allowed to tell him, you know, shkoyach. Man da amar aisher. But if you say that the second line already means that, machzik goy b'shvias means aisher yashakoach, so ma'u sholin b'shloman, right? What is that next line referring to? You already have the shkoyach, which is the lower level greeting, in the second line of the Mishnah. So what is the third line? Sholin b'shloman. So the Gemara says, that's talking about the Jew case. If the Jew is working the land during Shemitah, you can't tell him, great job, but you can say hello. You can say hello. B'shalom Yisrael, shalom aleichem. Right, you're allowed to, shalom Yisrael, you're still allowed to say, shalom aleichem, mipnei darkei shalom. Right, mipnei darkei shalom, you're allowed to say that. Okay. The Me'iri, the Gemara talks about this in Gittin also, and just the Me'iri says, when we talk about saying shalom aleichem, the Me'iri says, again, I think it's in the days of old when he's talking about, the Me'iri is known for saying this about a lot of the halachas having to do with non-Jews in the Gemara is not just non-Jews, it's about idolaters. The Me'iri says this relating to some halachas in Maseches Avodah Zarah, and elsewhere. So here too, the Me'iri says in Gittin Samach Beis, Ovdei HaGalilim. He doesn't say non-Jews. He says idol worshippers. And in Baba Kama, the Me'iri says, and all these halachas don't apply with Manazah. Because we don't have real idol worshippers. He says that in the 1300s in Provence, southern France. So, Ovdei Galilim, Ein Nimna'in Misha'ol Bishloman. Right? We don't withhold ourselves from saying hello. Umikal Makom Ein Ra'i Laha'arich Imahim B'divrei Shalom B'yeser Min HaRagil. But don't go overboard. Don't have such a close relationship with these idolaters. V'chutz L'tchum Shalom Minhag. Right, don't go up beyond that. V'zeo ha'nikra etzli kfeilus shalom. Don't double your shalom. There's a line like this in the Gemara there in Gittin, but it's not talking about in this context. So he says, what I call kfeilus, you can give shalom aleichem, but don't give kfeilus shalom aleichem. Shekal sha'adam ma'arich b'she'ela shalom al haragil, because if you're ma'arich with more than the regular shalom aleichem, more chiba yesera v'shayachus. Because if you have a rib, you have a law a little longer, so then it's showing a special affection and connection. V'shayachus. V'kvar yadata sh'avodes ha'gelilim ha'isa mosheches es leiv harbe. And you know that this idolatry could pull you. Mitzad to'eles sh'hayu masigim avodasam. From the to'eles that they think that they are achieving through the idolatry. V'chein ba'achmet shal Sanhedrin, and he quotes that Gemara in Sanhedrin, b'inyin Menashe. Remember that Gemara? Menashe says, makes an announcement to Rabosei, tomorrow we're going to talk about Ravashi, I think it was. Ravashi says to Ishir, tomorrow we're going to talk about Menashe in Shir. And that night Menashe, the king, came to Ravashi in a dream and said, you don't call me the Melech, you just call me Menashe. What are you talking about? He's like, what do you mean? You were an Ovid of Zara, and you were a murderer, and you were... So Menashe says to Ravashi in the dream, when you make hamotzi, where do you cut the challah from? The middle, the side, or the... Where do you cut the challah from? So Ravashi's like, I have no idea. So Menashe says, you don't even know where to cut the challah from, and you're not calling me the king? So what does Ravashi answer? Where do you cut the challah from? Right? He just wanted to know the halacha. So he says, you cut it from where it's baked most. So we don't even know what that means. Doesn't that mean where it's burnt the most on the edges? Does it mean the middle part? So they've been hugging about that. But Ravashi then says to Menashe, if you're such a Talmud Chacham, so why were you so evil? And why were you so terrible? So he says, if you lived in my day, there was such a taiva for Avodah Zarah, you'd be grabbing and running after my coattails. Right? So that's what the quotes here in one line. B'di Menashe, ilo havis mahi shaita. If you would have lived, noctis shipula v'azlis basra. You would have gone, run after me. So that's what the Meiri says, don't get too close to idolaters. Again, I don't know how strong the idolatry was in the days of the Meiri, but he might be talking about the days of the Gemara, right, earlier. If you start the conversation, not just when the Gemara says you should be Maktim Shalom, you should say first. It's not only because like it's nice to be first, it's also because then you kind of control the tempo in the conversation. If you say hello to the idolater first, then you could kind of temper, you know, how long this conversation is going to be. You're not just answering. So he says, that's why it's also a good idea. So you'll know it won't be more. V'ilo haya mamtim shehu maktim lo, sheik shemei kadmenu b'divrei chiba, v'his alsus ahavim. Maybe he'll really get into a nice conversation with you, and be longer v'haya hutzarach lahosif lo, and you'll have to give back to him. Kfeilus shalom, as the Meiri calls. Ba'osu aderach ha'chivito kachayu mis'ahavim zelazeh, v'daita miskareves yoser. Don't be too buddy-buddy and friendly with these idolaters, says the Meiri. Saying hello normally, that's no problem. And even if you say a little longer than just a hello, right? So shlama lamar, and he continues. So again, everybody has to know this. Ah, and then he says at the end of the paragraph, this is the Meiri, quoted all over. Umos hagaduras bedarki adatos. That's his phrase. I forgot he says this at the end here too. The nations that are ruled by societal norms, uma'aminim b'mitziuso yizbarach la'achduso v'yecholto, and they believe in God. Ava b'shem ishtabshem b'ksas dvarim, even they make a little mistake, l'fiyam anaseinu in their religions, ein le'makam d'ramela. We're not talking about those types of Jews, non-Jews. Right, that's what, again, the Meiri is quoted. If you look in Baba Kama, on the side of Baba Kama, towards the end, where we're talking about Morita Velomalin and all these halachas, the Shinu Gebetz is printed on the side of the Gemara, quotes the Meiri, right? The Umos HaGadurim Bedarki Adatos, right? All these halachas don't apply to them, but he says it here too, about the limitations, about saying hello, in these regards. Okay, let's continue now, back to our Gemara. Story. Dolma, we haven't had that word in a long time. That was a story, that's the word that means a story. Dolma, Rabbi Chinna, Bar Papa, Rav Shua, Bar Nachman, Avrin al-Chad, Michar Shei Shviyas. They passed by somebody who was plowing during Shemitah. Amalei Shua, Bar Nachman, Aisher. So he answers, he says, Yashakoach. So some say he wasn't saying this exactly when the guy was plowing. Maybe he just saw him by the edge of the field. Amalei Rav Chinna Bar Papa, Lo Kein Alfen Rebbe, didn't Rebbe teach you? V'lo Amru Ha'ovrim, quoting the pasuk in Tehillim, that the pasuk says, V'lo Amru Ha'ovrim Birchas Hashem Aleichem. Don't tell the people that are Ovrim. So what is the first understanding of what that means? Ovrim, people who violate. Pikanch also lama lachash shviyas shviyos isher. You can't say shkoyach to somebody who's violating shmita. The pasuk says lo amru ha overim pirchas Hashem aleichem. Right, that's what we darshan from that pasuk. So Amar Lei, so he answers him. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman answers him. Likros ata yodeya, lidrash yata yodeya. You know how to quote me the pasuk? If you don't know the drushes, I have a different drusha on that pasuk. Right, v'lo amru ha'ovrim. Over doesn't mean those that violate, but those that pass through. V'lo amru ha'ovrim. Those that don't say over him, elu ovdei kachavim shem over him in olam. Those that pass through the world, right? Don't say to idolaters, right? Who pass through the world, v'lo amru. And then the next phrase in the pasuk can mean li Yisrael birchas Hashem aleichem, meaning the ovdei kachavim don't say to the Jews, the ovdei kachavim who pass through the world, who take so much advantage, don't say to the Jews who bring so much bracha to the world, birchas Hashem aleichem. Ma Yisrael Omrim Lahem, and what do the Jews say back to them? This is all darshaning the continuation of the pasuk. Beirachnu eschem b'shem Hashem lo dayechem kol abrachos habos la'olam b'shvilanu. So many brachos come to the world because of us. Veinatem Omrim Lanu bo v'tlu lachem abrachos halalu. You don't want us to partake of some of the brachos, but la'od, and not only that. Elishatem megavlan aleinu pisim zimios gugulios arnonios. You not only don't thank us for the brachos, but you make it hard for us and all these different types of taxes. Because the Gemara is assuming that this tremendous bracha that comes to the world because of the Jew, because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, having that special connection with his chosen people, and we just get tortured for it, and we suffer for it. Right? It reminds us of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Remember the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Beis. The first daf in Masechta Avodah Zarah in the Bavli, the only Masechta, as I've quoted before, that starts off with Agadata. The only Masechta in Talmud Bavli that starts off with Agadata. So there, if you remember, all the nations of the world are going to come to be judged in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they're each going to try to say, you know, we want schar, we want our reward. So the Romans come first. The Romans come first, and what do they say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hashem says, Amar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mameh Asaktem, nu, what have you done? Omrim lefanav, ribono shel olam. What do you mean? What have we done? Harbe shvakim takananu, we made many marketplaces. Harbe merchatzos asinu, we made many bathhouses. Harbe kesef ezav ribanu, we built up economies. V'kulam lo asinu el b'shvil Yisrael. And we did it for the Jews, kadei sheyisasku b'Torah, so that they learn Torah. That's all what we did. And every nation is going to say that. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to them, shotim sheba olam. You fools. You fools. Everything you did was for yourselves. Everything you did was for yourselves. You're selfish. Tikata, why do you make marketplaces to act inappropriately? Why do you have merchatzos, bathhouses, to give yourself pleasure? The chulu. Ask the Brisker Rav on this Gemara, why does Hashem call them fools? Why not liars? They're liars. They're not just fools. They're liars. So explains the Brisker Rav, they're not liars. Because really, ultimately in life, everything in life was for Am Yisrael. Everything is part of world history, which is Jewish history coming to its fruition. Right? That's ultimately, they're fools because they're taking credit for it. Because they think they did it lishma. They didn't do it lishma. They did it not lishma. Right? Just like Paro. Paro said, Hashem, why are you punishing me? You know, it's Bris Ben Abbasarim. You didn't do it lishma. Right? That's not, even if you want to say the other reasons that they went above and beyond, but they didn't do it for that reason. So that's what the Brisker Rav says. Ukamo shebetchila sabriya lo nivra ha'olam ela bishvil Yisrael u'bishvil haTorah kol ma shenasev v'nischadish ba'olam betchila sabriya v'slof kolduras ha'kolu rach l'taklus hazeh bishvil Yisrael. Right, and there the olam is not hefker, and that's what he quotes the Rambam. Remember, he quotes this Rambam that it could be that there would be a king that would build a huge palace. Because in 1,000 years after that, there's going to be a tzaddik walking by and needs some shade. And he'll be in the shade of that big wall of the palace. 1,000 years later. And that's why this king will build a palace now. So everything is connected to Am Yisrael. So that's why they're fools. They're not liars. But so everything connects, but not because they have the kavana. So here too, this Gemara says that the Goyim are not only going to like thank us and recognize that we play a major part in the world, but they're going to push us down. And this is a conversation maybe that's going to take place. L'asid lava. Okay, last line. Hori Rav Imi L'radosimo. What does this line mean? Many of the Mefarshim wonder. The Marafolda has one more extra word. Hoy revimi lados imo, usser. Others don't have usser, others just have it, and meaning it's mutter. So it's something to do with facilitating and helping out a guy in something that he's doing during Shemitah. Right, that's the connection to the Mishnah, where you're allowed to tell him during Shemitah, you know, I'm going to buy this from you right after Shemitah. So what is this? The Mara Folda means, says that it means that you're, Ridia usually means to detach. Ridia we have by honey. You are allowed to take some honey out of the beehive with the non-Jew during Shemitah. That's not called regular harvesting, because a beehive, according to this Mandamar, is called Mitaltalin. It's not called Mechubar, Mechubar Lakarka. And that's a Machlokes. It's a Machlokes, the Marafolda quotes later on, we're going to have that maybe it's considered Karka, but that's Wamshat. Wamshat, it has to do with taking out honey. The Gra says it just has to do, again, Larados has to do with plowing. Plowing. Radia usually means plowing. You're allowed to help the guy fix his plowshare during Shemitah. Right, even though you're not allowed to plow, but you're allowed to help the guy fix his plasher during Shemitah. Okay, that's what it means. Fine. Halacha Dala, next Mishnah. Hameidol b'zeisim. So we had Meidol once before. Thinning. You have a lot of olive trees, and you want them to grow better. They're too tightly packed in, so you're going to rip out some of the olive trees, so the other trees could grow better. Are you allowed to do that during Shemitah? So, Beishamai Omrim Yagum. Bishamai says, you're not allowed to rip them out totally. You're allowed to raise them and cut them to where the roots are now in the bottom. But you're not allowed to rip out the roots. That's too much. That's what you have to leave the roots in the ground. Ubeisil Omer Misharesh. Beisil says, no, you can't even rip out the roots. Umodim b'machligat yagum. But Beis Hillel agrees, we had this earlier, that if you're taking three trees at once, not just one or two, then you have to leave the roots. That's too much. If you, that looks like that you're doing it for the betterment of the ground. So if you do three together, no good. Veizu meidol, what's meidol? Echad u'shtayim. Meidol, what you're allowed to do is one or two. Hamachlik shlosha zeh betzad zeh. That you are not allowed to do. Interesting, Tosfos Yontif. The Tosfos Yontif here notes, why isn't this just like zomer? Pruning. What's pruning? The tree has too many branches, so I'm going to cut some of the branches so that the rest of the tree grows better. So here, I'm cutting a bunch of trees so the rest of the trees grow better. Zomer is an Issa Daraisa during Shemitah. That's one of the that's the Karmich Halos Izmar. Right? It says Zomer. So the Tosfos Yontif says, I don't know why anybody says this is Mutter. Right? Meidel. You're allowed to thin? What's the difference, asks the Tosfos Yontif, between Meidel a couple of branches off of one tree or Meidel a couple of trees so the other trees grow better? So he says, I like the Rambam's pshat. I like the Rambam's pshat. That Meidel means you're thinning because you want the wood for firewood. You're not doing it l'shem, allowing the trees to grow better. Because if that's true, I don't see a difference between the zomer of branches of a tree and zomer of trees. Umali shemizamer. I'm reading the Tosfos Yontif now. Umali shemizamer v'koris mixas miha ilan k'deshi yigadol hu. O shekoras ilan echad k'deshi yigadol asheni. Hilkach nira kapir sharambam. Shekasav amedo b'zeisim shu shiichrasim lios eitzim la'esh. And then you get into the sugya of, you might not apply psik ratio when it comes to hilchos shvius, but that's the Tosfos Yontif. The other achronim say, no, the Pasach Shulchan says that, no, the point is that there's a difference. If you cut off branches from one tree, that maybe really facilitates growth in that tree directly. But if you cut off if you rip out some trees, so that's going to help other trees, but that might be more, his lashon is, you're removing an impediment. You're not causing growth to happen directly. The impediment is that it's too tightly packed in. But it's not as directly promoting growth. And therefore, there can be a chilik between the two. B'medra mamurim, we continue. B'medra mamurim mitok shalom. When do these limitations apply? Only if it's in your field. But if you're in somebody else's field, then you're obviously not doing that the ultimate purpose of having it grow better. And the Mara Folda says, it's known that you're only doing that for the wood, and therefore, it's mutter. That might be where the Rambam got it from, that even the first part of the Mishnah is talking about that kavana. V'amafkia be'etzim, if somebody is chopping down parts of an olive tree because he wants the wood. Lo yechabeo ba'afar, where you cut, don't cover it up with dirt, because that will promote growth. Avo machaseo ba'vanim o'bakash, you just cover it up with rocks, pebbles, or straw, because that'll just prevent the tree from dying and getting infected. Hakotz eitz koras shikma, but what about a sycamore? Koras shikma, so lo yechabeo ba'afar. Same thing. You shouldn't put dirt on it, but just avanim okash. Ain kotesim besula shikma b'shvius. The original, they used to grow these sycamore trees for their lumber. So the first time you cut it, that really promotes many more sprouts to come in. So you can't do that during Shemitah. That is really the avoda, that's the way that it grows. That promotes a lot of growth. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kedarka Aser. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't cut it in the regular way. Ella, sorry, tvachim, you have to leave 10 tvachim from the ground, o gomim me'am aretz, or cut it all the way down. One of those two, that doesn't promote growth. And therefore, that would be allowed. Good, a little bit more. Ha'medel b'zeisim, ha'medel, what does medel mean, as we said, notel echad meniach shtayim, o notel shtayim meniach echad. Take one or two. Tani deveis Rebbe, notel echad meniach shtayim. What do you mean? We have a brisa of base Rebbe that says, no, you have to leave two. You're only allowed to take one. Says the Gemara, one minute, that's against our Mishnah. Vatanid and Hamachlik, Shlosha Zebetzadzeh. Hamedel, Notoshtai Meniach Echad. Our Mishnah said two is okay. So you're bringing me a Brisa that's a Kashna on the other Brisa that only says one? The Mishnah says two. So the Gemara answers, Amr Yona, Mastisa, Bimedil, Mitrila. The Mishnah is talking about when it's the first time cutting the grove. So then you planted it originally very densely, and that's why you're even allowed to take two. Umadatani, the base Rebbe, b'meidol mikvar. The brisa that says you only have to take one is that it's not the first time, it's not so packed in densely, and therefore we will only allow you to take one. Period. And that's more about meidol. We'll have to stop there by Ein Matzisin, where we get into the next discussions about what's allowed and what's not allowed in your field during Shemitah. Okay, we'll stop here.